Monday marks the 50th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision in Brown v. Board of Education. Commentator and legal scholar Walter Dellinger remembers the day the ruling was announced. He was in school that day at Myers Park Junior High in Charlotte, North Carolina. He says it's hard to overstate the impact the ruling had on the South and on the country as a whole.
It was just past midday when a knock on the classroom door roused me from my post-lunch slumber. The assistant principal, standing just outside the partially open door, carried on a whispered conversation with our fourth grade teacher. At conversation's end, our teacher closed the door and, in slow motion in my mind's remembered eye, turned and faced the class. Our distracted chatter fell to a hush as we noted that our teacher's face was ashen. I believe I can remember 50 years later our teacher's exact words. "Children," our teacher said, "the Supreme Court has ruled. Next year, you will go to school with colored children." I did not go to school with colored children the next year or the year thereafter. In fact, I finished junior high and graduated from a still all-white high school in 1959 without ever having attended a school with a black child. By the time I finished 4 years at the state university, the public schools of North Carolina remained almost entirely segregated. More than 99% of the state's black children attended all-black schools. It was not until the 1972 school year, by which time I'd been through law school, clerk for a Supreme Court justice, and become a law professor teaching the Brown decision, that there was finally a meaningful end to de jure segregation in the public schools of the rural and small-town South. To this day, the success or failure of school desegregation itself remains a source of controversy. Brown, of course, did not by any means terminate the Southern racial regime. But it's too narrow a prism to look only at year-by-year school desegregation figures to assess Brown. Properly understood, what Brown did was to put a powerful proposition to the American people that racial segregation was immoral and unconstitutional. The decision was an act of extraordinary boldness. It placed the court itself as an institution deeply at risk. For a decade, it appeared that the court's most significant ruling would simply not be obeyed. Had the nation declined to accede to the proposition of Brown, judicial review as we know it would have come to an end. Our Supreme Court has no army, it controls no purse. Its power is the power of persuasion. The court's decisions condemning racial segregation were destined to prevail only if the country was ultimately convinced of their correctness. I've sometimes been asked whether, as a white child in the South of the late 40s and early 50s, I thought segregation was wrong. I answered that the question would not have made much sense to me growing up in the years before Brown. Segregation was a fact about my universe. It seemed no more right or wrong than the placement of the planets in the solar system. It simply was. Brown altered that forever. At least for many young white Southerners, the court turned Jim Crow from a social fact into an inescapable and powerful moral question.
Walter Dellinger is a law professor and appellate advocate. He served as Solicitor General of the United States in the Clinton administration.